Hi, my name is Dana, and today we're gonna talk about what is considered the heavens. So, it's kind of an introduction to the system, to the solar system. So, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. Psalms 19:1. So, the study of God's creation beyond our atmosphere is the astronomy. And astronomers study the motions of the heavenly bodies and laws that govern those motions. Now, what's the structure of the solar system? When God designed the expanse of the universe, He chose a small corner for the Milky Way galaxy. One small part of the galaxy is our solar system, which includes the sun and all natural objects that orbit it. In the 300s before Christ, the Greek philosopher Aristotle, he popularized the idea that the universe is geocentric, that means Earth-centered, and he described the universe as a series of spherical layers or heavens. Around the 280s before Christ, a Greek astronomer named Aristarchus proposed that the Earth orbits the Sun, but his idea was not widely accepted. And by AD 150, Claudius Ptolemy, an astronomer from Alexandria, Egypt, adopted and expanded Aristotle's geocentric view in his book named Almagest. Now we're gonna talk about Nicolaus Copernicus, who was a Polish astronomer that solved these problems about the solar system being geocentric and proposing a heliocentric, that means sun-centered, system in which Earth is a system, is a planet, and all the planets orbit the Sun. In this system, only the Moon orbits the Earth, unlike the others that said that everything was around the Earth and the Earth was in the middle of every single thing. So, for many years, Copernicus' model was not popular. One astronomer who agreed with Copernicus' idea was Galileo Galilei. And there's a lot of things of Galileo Galilei, like he built the first telescopes and he used it in his astronomical investigations. The most important evidence for the heliocentric system that Galileo discovered came from his observations of the planet Venus. Galileo observed that Venus has phases just as the Earth's moon does. So, Ptolemy's geocentric system and Copernicus' heliocentric system predicted that Venus would have phases, but according to Ptolemy's system, no more than half of Venus should ever appear illuminated when viewed from Earth. Galileo discovered that Venus has a full cycle of phases, going from no visible illumination to complete illumination. This disagreed with Ptolemy's system, but agreed with Copernicus' system. Copernicus' theory was further supported by the work of Johannes Kepler, who was a godly Lutheran whose goal was to find the mathematical harmonies in the mind of the Creator. Kepler was an assistant to the Danish astronomer Tycho Brahe, who was an excellent observer of the heavens and kept very, very accurate the records of his observations. Kepler used Brahe's observations and accurate charts of the heavenly bodies to help prove Copernicus' heliocentric ideas. Now we're gonna talk about the three laws that Kepler had. So he had discovered the elliptical shape of the planet's orbit. Kepler formulated three laws of planetary motion to help explain astronomers' observations of the planet's paths. Kepler's first law states that every planet orbits the sun in an ellipse, with the sun as one focus of the ellipse and an empty point in the space as the other. Kepler's second law actually describes how a planet's speed changes as it orbits. A mathematical definition of the law is somewhat complex, but the law states that as a planet moves closer to the sun, it travels faster, and as it moves further away, it slows down. When the Earth is at its perihelion, its closest point to the sun, it moves faster. At the Earth's most distant point is the aphelion, so it travels more slowly. Kepler's third law states that mathematical relationship between a planet's period and the planet's average distance from the sun. The farther a planet average distance from the sun, the longer period. Although Kepler did not know the actual distances between the sun and the planets, he also measured these distances in astronomical units. One astronomical unit is approximately the distance between the Earth and the sun. So that's pretty much everything from Kepler. So now we're going to talk about Isaac Newton. One of Newton's greatest scientific achievements was his study of gravity, the force of attraction that exists between any two objects. Newton's law of universal gravitation, which helped astronomers answer their questions about the solar system, states that the strength of the gravitational force between two objects depends on their masses and the distance between them. So we're gonna talk about the interplanetary space. The space that is the space between the planets is considered the vacuum, a space that does not contain any matter. The inner planets. Ancient astronomers spent many hours observing the stars and plotting their positions. They knew that most stars did not appear to move when compared to other stars, but they also observed five stars traveling on one independent course across the sky. Because these unusual stars move independently, astronomers called them planets, the wanderers. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. Also looks similar to our moon in that because it is very rocky, barren, and pitted with craters that formed when rocks from space collided with this planet. Because Mercury orbits near the bright sun, this planet is often hard to see without a telescope. Depending on its orbit, Mercury is sometimes visible near the horizon in the bright glow just after sunset or before the sunrise. And Mercury's orbit is more eccentric than that of any other planet. With any hardly atmosphere that protects Mercury, it experiences temperatures that rise and fall to great extremes due to the planet's low rotation and lack of a greenhouse effect. At high noon at the hot poles, the temperature can soar to over 430 Celsius. On the opposite side of the planet, heat quickly radiates outward from the surface into the space, and nighttime would be about minus 170 Celsius. So, Venus. The planet Venus is often the brightest object in the night sky, except for the moon. The planet is bright not only because it is close to Earth, but also because it is covered with a dense blanket of a highly reflective cloud. As the second closest planet to the Sun, Venus is typically seen around sunset or sunrise, earning it the names of morning star and the evening star. Venus is the only planet that takes longer to rotate on its axis than it does to orbit the Sun. Venus' rotation is retrograde, that means that it moves backwards from east to west. Thus, the Sun on Venus rises in the west and sets in the east due to its revolution and rotation. Venus takes about 117 Earth days to go from sunrise to sunrise. Now we're gonna talk about the Earth, where we are right now. So, Earth is a big, huge blue, white, green, and brown marble suspended in space, with a diameter of about 13,000 kilometers. Earth is the fifth largest planet and the largest inner planet. Earth's average distance from the Sun is about 150 millions of kilometers. And because of the distance from Earth to the Sun, Earth orbit requires about 365 days, 5 hours, and 48 minutes. Earth, as we would know, is the only planet in the solar system that is suitable for life. Now we're going to talk about that white thing we see every night, the Moon. So is the Earth's only natural satellite. The satellite means an object that orbits another object. Although the term Moon is very used for the natural satellite of any planet, Earth's natural satellite never received a more specific name. Until Galileo discovered Jupiter's moons, no one knew that any other natural satellites existed. The Moon's slightly elliptical orbit around the Earth requires 29 days, 12 hours, and 44 minutes. This period is a lunar month because the Moon also takes the same amount of time to make one rotation on its axis in relation to the Earth. Observers on Earth only ever see one side or one face of the Moon, also known as the near side. The far side of the Moon was not seen until 1959, when an unmanned Soviet spacecraft took photographs of it while orbiting the Moon. So the Moon's far side is more heavily cratered than the near side, but it has fewer Maria. Maria are individual patches that are entitled as Mare, Cygnus, or Bay, or Oceanus. For example, the first moonwalk occurred on Mare Tranquillitatis, Sea of the Tranquility. So that's what Maria is. So, as the Moon orbits the Earth throughout a lunar month, the moon appears to change shape because different parts of it reflect the Sun or are hidden in shadow. The lunar month begins at new moon when the sunlit side of the Moon is turned away from the Earth and completely hidden from view. As the Moon orbits the Earth, a sliver of the Moon's sunlit side becomes visible from Earth and waxes or gradually grows larger. This is the waxing crescent moon phase. Now the first quarter moon is when half of the Moon is visible. The waxing gibbous is when the Moon is visible but seems to bulge, but it also continues to wax. Now the full moon occurs when the entire face of the Moon is illuminated. That's what happened on the 26th of April of 2021 that we had a full moon, but it was called the pink moon, but it wasn't actually like a pink color. So that's fun to remember. A lunar eclipse sometimes occurs when the moon is full. So if the moon is full, passes through the Earth's shadow, the moon will darken because it can no longer reflect the sun's light. So we're gonna talk about the big red planet. So Mars is the last of the four inner planets. Is the about half the size of Earth seen from Earth. Mars has a reddish orange color, earning the name of red planet. Mars' orbit is more eccentric than most of the planets. And Mars' two moons are Phobos and Deimos. Both moons are tiny and irregularly shaped like potatoes. Mars is completely barren, without any signs of life. The planet abounds with deep canyons, large craters, and towering volcanoes. The Tharsis Bulge, an immense plateau, has some of the largest mountains and valleys in the solar system, including the chill volcano Olympus. Olympus Mons is the largest known mountain in the solar system. The Valles Marineris Canyon system is 4,000 kilometers long, about the distance from New York City to Los Angeles, California. So, yeah, that's pretty much all we will talk about today. The four inner planets that are Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. Venus, Earth, where we live, and Mars and Mercury. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed and have a nice time learning about these four planets and the white thing we see every night, that's the moon. So yeah, bye.